Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome. It's Ruth from ruthamos.com.au, and I want to welcome you to episode 2 of A Quiet Life. And I'm recording this on Wednesday the 17th of October 2018. And I'm just so thrilled that you can be with us. And however you found us, I'm really happy to have you listening. I'm also very thrilled because now you can find us on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher. That's the other one. So we've been put up on all of these podcast servers, and you can subscribe to us through these. So I'm very excited to be able to be subscribed to. I wasn't going to put up another episode until people could subscribe, and these people came through right on time because I want to put up an episode every Wednesday. And so if you want episodes of this podcast to land in your phone or computer or however you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to us and they'll turn up. That's the best way to do it. So I'm really happy that that came through today and thrilled about it. And so that's one thing. Today's interview is with Sarah. And Sarah really openly and very bravely shares with us her struggles with mental illness. And I just want to thank her so much for being so open on this interview. And it's just so lovely to have her sharing. And she really shares some great wisdom as well. I learned from her, from interviewing her. I think it's wonderful. So I'm just so happy to have these interviews. This is why I do this podcast, because all of the interviews are just so great and you're going to learn so much from listening. And so yeah, I hope you really enjoy the interview. If this interview speaks to you, remember that I'd love to hear about it. So drop me a comment on my website, ruthamos.com.au, or write me an email at ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or chat to me on Twitter. Twitter's at A Quiet Life, or you can go to Facebook and find me at Ruth Amos Author. And however you find me, I'd just love to hear about how you feel about the interview, or whether it's spoken to you, or anything really. You can just talk to me about anything. I'd love to hear about it. So yeah, as far as my life is concerned, I had a wonderful visit with our daughter Jess last week, and it was just lovely to see her. So I have two kids, Jess and Caleb, and Caleb lives with us, but Jess lives in Canberra, so she came down and had a visit, and that was really lovely. And the other thing that I'm excited about this week is that the weather has turned warmer, and I actually went for a walk along the beach with Moz yesterday, and the weather, well, we got out of the car and it just smelt like summer. It felt like summer, and it was just lovely to walk along the beach. He was brave and walked barefoot. I kept my sneakers on. I think the water's still absolutely freezing. We live in Tasmania. But you know, it was lovely. It was just lovely. A lovely, lovely day. And I couldn't get over the smell, the summery smell. It was just amazing. I think, I don't know what it is, the heat, the gum trees, the oils coming up out of the ground, but it was just lovely. I'm also, I'm working on edits to my novel. So I'm writing a novel under my other author name, which is RJ Amos. You can find me on Amazon. So I just got my edits back from my editor, and I've worked through all the little edits, but I've been procrastinating on the bigger ones. There's a few big things, chunks of things that need to be fixed. But hopefully I'll get that done by the end of this week. I will do it. I will. And yeah, and then that novel hopefully will be ready to go by the end of the year. So that's me. I'm enjoying this podcast so much. I'm enjoying transcribing the interviews and listening to them again and hearing the wonderful things that people share. And I'm just so glad that you can be here and join me in it. So I hope you have a wonderful week, whatever your quiet life entails this week. I hope that you know God's closeness to you, and I will chat to you again next week. Hello, we're here today with Sarah.
It's very exciting to have you with us, Sarah. I always get
super excited. Thank you. Okay, so a little introduction for those of you who don't know Sarah as well as I know her, because I've known her for a long time. Sarah and her husband Mark have two daughters in early primary school, and Sarah works as a teacher, and she volunteers at church, and she plays the piano for church, and then she accompanies
one choir.
I wrote at least one choir, I wasn't sure, because she does other things as well. And she works with our mainly music team, which is with little children. And I'm telling you all the story that I'm going to ask Sarah about later. But anyway, so Sarah's a pretty busy person. She loves craft. She loves music, obviously. And at the moment, she tells me she's desperately in love with her garden. So that's Sarah. And I'm going to ask you a few Sarah questions. So can you tell me, what do you do for a job?
Okay. Well, I guess my first job is at home.
So true. Yes.
My first place of work, the unpaid version, and that keeps me fairly busy. But my paid work is teaching music in a primary school, which I enjoy. I have a couple of days doing that. And then I also accompany and sometimes conduct a choir. Well, there's two in the area that I'm involved in, with more one than the other. That's part of a national network of choirs. So really enjoy that.
So is that a super special choir of highfalutin singers,
No, it's a wonderful community choir that welcomes anybody in, and we have a wonderful time together.
Singing is so important.
Absolutely. Yep.
Just lifts the spirits. Why did you choose to be a music teacher?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. And I guess two memories come up. One is when I was in grade four, I was part of a grade 4-5 class. And I remember the girl I was put next to, that we were sitting there, and I would be helping her to understand the work. And,
okay,
just, in my own peer way, teaching, I guess. She was in grade 5. I guess that became sort of normal. And so that was the teaching aspect. And then I guess I really fell in love with music in about grade 7 when I could read enough music, and back before we had all this internet technology and you actually went to the shop to buy your music.
Oh, we're showing our age now.
But I could actually hear a song on the radio that I liked. I could go get the music, I could read it and teach myself. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really fell in love with music. And by grade 9, I knew I wanted to be a music teacher. And
wow. Yeah. Wow, that's really early on. Mm. I mean, I know that in grade 5 and 6, that's when I decided I didn't want to be a teacher because we were so horrible. So as a class, it's nice to hear somebody who's decided they do want to be a teacher at that time.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, so next question. I always lose these. How did you become a Christian?
Okay, so I was born into a Christian family. So grew up attending church and, reading the Bible and going to youth group and all those sorts of things. But my faith became real for me on an Anglican camping camp. At the beginning of year 10, I'd only found out about them the year before. They'd been going for years, but I hadn't heard. So I went on this amazing Anglican camp, canoe camp in year 9, but it was the last year I could go to this flat water one.
Yeah.
And so year 10 I had to go to the white water camp, and that was more of a challenge that tested me beyond my limits. The weather was true Tasmanian weather. It was wet, it was dreary, it was cold, it was horrible. This is
beautiful.
January.
That's exactly when you want to be on the water.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
And Yeah, and just every day. So the days are organised so that you gradually build up. So you don't do the river in order.
Right.
You do it in order of difficulty.
Yes.
So each day is getting harder and harder.
Yes.
And every day I just hated being on the water. And it was just, yeah, really hard. On the last day of paddling, the hardest day, when we got into the river, the first rapid was already pulling you towards itself.
Okay.
And that day also had a small waterfall.
Mm.
just another day in the life.
This doesn't sound like fun.
And as soon as I hopped in the water, I was just like, God, I can't do this.
Mm.
You're going to have to get me through because I can't do it.
Mm.
I hate water in my eyes, always have, still do. And at the top of this, I don't know, 1-2 meter rapid that you have to actually steer down. You don't go straight down a rapid. You have to steer your way and follow your instructor
right.
to get the right way down.
Yes.
And I get water in my eyes at the top. So my eyes are closed. I'm just sort of, you know, doing this. I get to the bottom and my instructor says, I think you got the best run of everybody.
Wow.
And I'm just like, thank you, God. Mm. And the rest of that day, which remember is the hardest day,
yeah.
I just had such peace.
Yeah.
I could actually look around and enjoy just how beautiful it was wow. on the water. And I did do the waterfall. Only once. The people that enjoyed it went round and round and round. But I did it.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of God being real for me. And everything started from that. I was able to read my Bible every day from then on. And, yeah, and just that prayer and that is real, that God answers.
Yeah,
that's right. And that year I started leading youth group. I started being part of a youth band and just, yeah, my faith, I guess, became service as well as relationship.
Mm.
And it just all came from there.
Yeah, wow. Mm. That's very interesting that you say service and relationship are two important parts that go together. Yeah.
I think, yeah, I've only just really thought about that just then, really, in our Sunday sermon. But, yeah, so, yes, they did really go together.
Sunday sermons can be found at stclementskingston.org.au, quite possibly. I'll put it in the show notes. But, yes, yeah. So with that thought in mind, how does your faith affect your life now?
Mm. Yeah, so I guess that's probably what it looked like for 10 years or so, I guess. I'm thinking that was 15.
Mm.
Yeah. Now it's very different.
having two children does change things. You can't really have a one-hour quiet time if you want to.
No, and I have missed that. I really have. But I think it's deeper and more real as time's gone on. I think through the ups and downs of life, God's shown himself faithful time and time again, and has really shown different ways. So I've been really blessed that in some of the dark and busy times, particularly of early babies, which, yeah, we had some struggles through those early years as well, that it would be the middle of the night reading my Bible while feeding. It would be music in the car. Or it would be, just being able to pray in the moment on the go and hear God answer in just the midst of everyday life. It was often the times when I didn't have time. It wasn't that I was choosing not to sit and have quiet times, but they just couldn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think God was faithful in those times. And then the times where perhaps I was choosing not to make the time, and God so graciously pulls back and says, no, you know, you seek me. And I can really see how, I guess the last 8 years have been cycles of that.
Right.
Of times where, God is close and faithful when my heart is right, whether there's time or not. And then those times where, it's time to put more intentional effort or just, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice that it's not like one size fits all, like, you know, God says, like you say, he's a person. He can say your heart's in the right place, but you don't have time, or he can say your heart's not in the right place, so let's do something about that. Sure. Yeah, and can I ask about mental health?
Yes. that's a journey I'm still learning, and it's been really tough. But even coming here, I was thinking as I got out the car, I am so thankful for God's journey for me. I don't wish any of it had not happened. Because God has taught me so much through the journey.
So just for people who don't know, there's just been a bit of a struggle over the past, many years, but it's sort of come to life.
My lifetime, really. So, and the interesting thing is that the more I learn, the further back it goes. So the first, the first signs were my first lot of postnatal depression. When my first daughter was 8 months old, which coincided with Christmas, which was really tough to take.
Oh, yes, yeah.
My daughter's first Christmas, and I was barely there. And that's something I can't ever get back. So that was tough. But I get just before that, that postnatal depression, the beginning of it was really this sense of, I felt like I was feeling my sin for the first time ever, the weight of it. And I just was burdened by that, I guess. And I remember walking along the beach with my eldest daughter in the pram, and I just felt so rotten. And I just said, God, whatever it takes, you know, like, I don't want to be like this, you know, change me. Whatever it takes. And he very clearly said to me, it's going to hurt. And I said, that's okay, God, whatever it takes. And he said again, it's going to hurt. And I'm so grateful for that, because I held on to that for the next couple of years. And God reminded me of that over the next few years. And so then I was, had my first round of postnatal depression. And I remember going, this is tough. But that's okay. God said it was going to hurt. And then it got worse. And you go, I thought that was it. But, oh, my goodness, okay. He said it was going to hurt. All right. And we sort of went through, a real dip. And it was tough. But God was carrying me through it all and teaching me. It was all training. It was all diamond polishing. All of the tough stuff was showing me things that I needed to work on and giving me that opportunity to do that. And then we would kind of have a reprieve, and you'd kind of find it was a survival mode. We really haven't thrived for years. But we'd find that survival plateau and have a bit of a rest, I guess, a breather. And you'd think things were okay. And then we'd have another dip. I would say that I actually had depression just before my second daughter was born, which I didn't recognise until I was looking back. So that was 18 months later. So another dip. And just all these times of, God just giving what we needed, the reprieve, all the learning times, and he was with me through it all. After that, it was probably another year or two, another couple of years before I actually, my older daughter was five. So say 4 years from that first postnatal depression to actually God taking my husband to India so that we couldn't rely on the facades that we'd been putting up, where we thought we were okay, But I wasn't getting out of bed in the morning if my husband was around to be able to manage.
Yeah.
And so God took him away so that I had to crash.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing that happened.
So I was away for about 2 weeks.
That's right.
And it was just long enough for everything to fall apart.
Exactly. But once again, so beautifully, it was on a Sunday morning. And I just managed to send my kids into the row at church with my parents-in-law and then turn around and run out the door because I was about to absolutely bawl.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful women who followed me and cared for me, and just there was so much freedom. I didn't even realize the masks I'd been putting on to just keep going. And so all of a sudden there was so much freedom in being able to go, I'm not okay. I'm not coping. And we can't keep going like this. And that was God's gift.
Absolutely.
In our own strength, we would have just kept going and things would have been worse. But God's beautiful timing and gift, and to be able to just go, yeah, this is where I am, and to release. So I had a while of not doing anything that didn't need to be done. And it's very easy to say no to everything.
Yeah, so you're saying you didn't go, you weren't working.
I did manage to keep working, but that's the only thing
that I kept on. No connect groups, no studies, no going to the fair.
That's right. No playgroup. I pulled out of everything, music team,
yeah.
Everything stopped, and it was just my family. I was blessed to be able to keep working.
And at that stage, you went and saw a GP.
That's right, and got myself sorted.
Got a counsellor.
That's
whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and that was another thing from, my husband being away. I had to wait until he got back. And it was that decision of I'm doing, once again, whatever it takes. This is the journey. And that meant medication, and that was one of the best things I've ever done. And that's been a hard journey. Every time I think I'll be able to get off it, I realise that I'm still needing that. I hope one day I will be able to. And I believe I will. But if not, that's okay. This is what I need for my body to function the way that God wants it to. And so that was, just so the right thing to do. And I think that's why I want to share things, is because there's just so much around all of this. I didn't recognize I had depression until I absolutely crashed. And I think the night before I crashed, I just happened to be Googling. I thought, I wonder what stress leave is. I wonder if I qualify for stress leave. And looking through my work memorandum thing, whatever they're called, EA, the agreement, and sort of working through for what it was, didn't really find anything that was useful, but I ended up on just Googling what is a mental breakdown.
Wow.
And I ended up on the Beyond Blue website and watching a video and just going, that's me. And that's how God showed me I had depression.
Wow.
And so then, I just lost it the next morning.
Knowing where you were.
That's right. But God's timing, God's place, God's way.
Yeah.
And it was just such a gift to be able to stop hiding what I didn't realise I was hiding.
Yeah.
And then, the journey of getting help, medical help. I went and saw a Christian counsellor, and that was helpful for a season.
Yes.
And that must have been a 3-year journey now. Finished with the counsellor, but then a little while later realising that I still needed more help. And so I ended up going to a psychologist, and that's been really helpful too. And part of that journey is that I've actually, I guess that I worked out along the way that the depression didn't actually come first, anxiety did.
Mm.
And untreated anxiety eventually led to depression.
Right.
Had I realised the anxiety and dealt with that, I may never have dipped to depression, I don't know. And now further on again, I've learnt that the reason I have an issue with anxiety is that I actually have Asperger's or autism, it's just labelled as now. But, not realising that that's what I've dealt with my whole life.
Mm.
And now so much makes sense.
Yeah.
And I can work specifically on different things that I struggle with.
Mm.
And God is just amazing the way he gives us these little bits that we can cope with.
Don't have all the information at the beginning. You can just take it as you go through.
And in reality, it's been a backwards thing, you know. Okay, depression first, that actually came last.
Let's work through the other.
That's it. Then anxiety. And then the bit that actually came first, autism, Asperger's. And, so now I can actually work through that. Mm.
So we're still in the middle of the journey.
We really are. But God is just so present in that. Mm, the day after I had my diagnosis, I remember standing out at the washing line, which is where I often think and talk with God, because it's a bit peaceful and I'm a bit still.
Yeah.
But just getting this real sense of I am the same person today that I was yesterday.
Mm. Mm. Even with the diagnosis.
That's right. Nothing's changed except for understandings that I can work with that actually help me to live my life.
Yeah.
But I'm still the same person. I'm still loved by God. I still have the same gifts, skills, abilities that he has given me, a lot of which stem from
who you are.
Asperger's. That's right. And so that was a real gift too. So it's been, a diagnosis that I have embraced with those understandings. I guess I haven't shared it very openly yet. Here I am. And it's been a real journey working that out, but I'm very passionate about all these things that we don't talk about and we don't know.
Mm.
I'm 37 years old and I found out 9 months ago.
Mm.
And if I had have found out when I was young.
Yeah, it may be a whole different story.
That's right. Mm. And so that's what I'm passionate about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, is that we talk about these things that haven't been talked about.
Mm.
Mm.
Can you tell me when you feel closest to God?
Mm. It remains the way that I guess I developed in my late teens, early 20s, which is through music.
Mm.
That 1 hour devotional time that I had then was putting a CD on and praying through my worship. So often, you know, I'd start by singing the words, but then I would actually sing my prayers and that sort of thing and reading the Bible and, that. So I don't get that now, but I will still, one of the ways when I've been really not coping to actually self-soothe and to calm myself has been to go and sit at the piano and play worship music. And then through that playing, once again, to pray and to just pour my heart out to God through music.
And your girls love hearing that at night.
They do.
Like going to sleep with mum's music. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, final question. If there's one thing that you could tell the world about God and Christianity, what would that thing be?
He's real.
Yeah.
He loves us so much. And he is such a faithful God who just... that father heart with his children is just way more gentle than I am. Like, I still have so much to learn about parenting from God. But he's just so gentle and he's perfect. He knows exactly what we need.
Mm.
But he's the loving God that doesn't avoid the discipline.
Mm.
Like, yeah, mm. he says that it will hurt, but it'll be worth it. Mm. And the benefits far outweigh the pain.
Yeah.
Yes, Hebrews 12, I think that comes from.
Right.
Okay. Yes, okay. That, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but no. Brings all the good things.
All the good things.
Yes. Okay. Forget the next bit. Check it out.
Check it out. Hebrews 12. We'll put it in the show notes. Make sure it's there. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you for sharing so openly with us. And I'm sure this is going to bless so many people. So thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email Ruth at ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.